Thank you for making Locked On Yankees your first listen every day. We're free and available on all platforms. On today's show, will the Aaron Judge extension happen before opening day, and just how long will it be? It was revealed yesterday that the Yankees will have 21 games exclusively on Amazon Prime in 2022. Michael King learned Corey Kluber's signature pitch, which could be interesting for the Yankees. And just as we were getting ready to record, news about housing guarantees in the minor leagues come with a major caveat. That's all coming up next on Locked On Yankees.
You are Locked On Yankees, your daily New York Yankees podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, Yankee fans. Welcome to Locked On Yankees. I'm your host, Stacey Gatsoulias, and I'm joined by my co-host, Abby Mastracco. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at Locked On Yankees, all one word. You can listen to the show on every podcasting platform available, including Apple, Odyssey, Spotify, and Stitcher. You can watch and subscribe to us on YouTube. We are inching closer and closer to 1,000. Our goal of reaching 1,000 by opening day will probably happen with your help. We're at 969 right now, and when we hit it, we're having a giveaway. And when you get into your car, you can tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Yankees. Abby, it's Friday. Are you happy it's Friday?
I am ready for the Final Four tomorrow. Rock Chalk Jayhawk.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
My former employers. Yeah. Spent a year working at the athletic department. Kansas still, you know, have a lot of free t-shirts from that one year. I will wear one tomorrow.
Yeah.
Rock Chalk Jayhawk.
Yeah, the Final Four is here. Amazing. It's April. It's April 1st. We're not doing any April Fool's jokes. I was Rickrolled at 3:30 this morning. It's 2022. Can we stop Rickrolling? Seriously. I mean, this has been going on for like 15 years now. It's like, stop. It's I know. And I was so pissed too, because I really fell for it. I didn't let the video open though. I saw the title come up and I was like, I cursed, and I'm not going to curse because we're not allowed to curse on the show, but it was funny. I'm happy it's Friday because it's the last Friday without regular season baseball, because opening day is next Thursday. Hooray!
Yay!
Gerrit Cole was pitching today, and as far as I know, he did okay from what I could tell on Yankees.com, because the game wasn't, I don't believe, was on TV, if I recall correctly, because I think I checked yes and it wasn't there. Luis Severino, before we get into everything, he's okay, everyone. I told you all to calm down about him the other day, but he seems to be fine. He will be making his start tomorrow. They said 60 pitches will be his limit. So if you're not watching,
on the other hand, may not be okay.
Yeah, yeah. Let's talk about that briefly. Even though we're a Yankees podcast, you know, it's New York, and, you know, New York baseball is intertwined, and we pay attention to everything. And
not
yeah.
only that, though, Jacob deGrom is, I mean, he's sort of like the Mike Trout of pitching right now, you know? Like, it's just, you recognize the best players in the league on, you know, even if it is just a team-specific
right.
podcast. And what Jacob deGrom does on a pitching mound is absolutely unreal. And you just, man, nobody wants it more than him. And having been around him also, like, he's quite a gamer. The Mets are going to take caution.
Right.
When it comes to him, when it comes to Scherzer, you know, they've all had Tommy John. Yeah, Scherzer had Tommy John?
I don't recall. I don't think he did, but I'm not sure, because so many guys have had Tommy John.
Yeah, at one point, like, the Mets' entire rotation had had it a couple of years ago. It's like,
yeah. Yeah. We talked about that operation a few times, and, you know, after reading Jeff Passan's The Arm, because I didn't really know, I knew it was, you know, it involved the elbow. I knew that much, but I didn't know exactly how involved that surgery was. And just knowing what they do and how once you have it twice, you can't really have it a third time. There's no room for them to make more holes in those bones. So, yeah. So when I hear about two-time Tommy John people like Jameson Taillon and Nathan Eovaldi, I'm just like, oh my God. Like, anytime you watch those guys, you're just like, oh, watching the elbow, making sure that it doesn't do anything bad on the mound. So,
and
yeah, Jacob deGrom
is
up in the air.
Particularly troubling, because you can recover from an elbow injury. It's not fun. And right. it's not easy, but the shoulder controls the elbow. When I had my own shoulder surgery, I learned this from my doctor. Your shoulder controls your entire upper body. You move your shoulder and like, look, my head's moving with it. Yeah. As you're watching on YouTube, you can kind of see my head moving. For those of you listening on the podcast, try moving your shoulders around. Your head's going to kind of follow. You got to like push your head out to the other side so it doesn't follow. It controls, your shoulders control your entire upper body. So it's going to control your elbow by default, and it's where a lot of the power comes from. Sure, the power comes from the legs and the core, but like you get the torque from the shoulder. So so that's why a lot of times, you know, you see guys come back after Tommy John surgery, but shoulder surgery, you're not seeing a ton of pitchers come back after shoulder surgery.
Yeah, that's a tough one. I had an issue with my shoulder 1 year for about 9 months where I couldn't move it above here without getting extremely sharp pains, like stabbing pains. Did I go to a doctor? No. And then it suddenly went away. And I still to this day don't know what I did. I don't know if I pinched a nerve or whatever I did, but it was a good 6 months. And I even thought about pitchers, like how do they do anything if their shoulder's bothering them? I tried to shoot a basketball and everything went white because the pain was so bad. I almost fainted. It was so bad. I wasn't expecting it. And yeah, the shoulder is tricky. And another thing I found out, when you hurt your neck, when you tweak it, I tweaked it one time watching the Yankees play the Cubs a few years ago. Someone made a really bad play and I turned to look and I did something. I never realized how much you rely on your neck and how heavy your head actually is until I hurt my neck. And it was the most brutal 5 days of my life trying to walk around with a neck injury.
You remember that line in Jerry Maguire where the kid's like, the human head weighs 30 pounds or 20 pounds or whatever it is. Your head weighs a lot. Yeah. And your little neck is supposed to hold it up. The vertebrae are like very remarkable.
It really is. You know?
The human neck and the human back are like such travesties. Like we do mean things to them all the time.
We really do. So let's get into Aaron Judge because, you know, everyone's wondering if the extension, well, there, John Heyman said that the Yankees offered something to him. Mm-hmm. I'm just wondering how long it's going to be because Judge is turning 30 at the end of this month. He was born April 92. And I really think that the Yankees are not going to do their normal, let's throw a 10-year contract at this person thing because he's turning 30. I feel like watching 39-year-old Aaron Judge trying to run around a baseball field, although by then he would be a full-time DH by then. He would have to be. Because he throws his body all over the place. He's a bigger dude. He would probably break down a little quicker than someone who's smaller than him. I would assume.
You could classify those as his David Ortiz years.
Yeah, right. I mean, thank God for the DH. It helped a lot of people prolong their careers. But I saw that, was it, oh God, now I can't remember who it was. Was it Heyman again that said it was 6 years or 7 years? Which that I'm fine with. I wouldn't mind seeing a 36-year-old and 37-year-old Aaron Judge at the end of his contract running around. But I think the days of the Yankees giving away 10-year contracts and taking on 10-year contracts from other teams, Giancarlo Stanton, I think those days are over because of the way this offseason worked and because of the way they were kind of hamstrung and couldn't make big moves because of stuff that was already in the books. And I feel like that's going to happen a lot in baseball anyway, like around the league. You're not going to see, unless the guy is like 21, like, you know, a Wander Franco or a Fernando Tatis Jr., these guys who are still in their young 20s, you'll see bigger deals for those guys. But I think the days of seeing guys who are 29, 30, 31 getting really big deals may be over.
Yeah, and that's sort of consistent across a lot of sports. Careers are short. Careers are getting shorter. Yeah. And teams have to choose how to allocate their money, especially when the finances are sort of in flux as they have been the last few seasons. You know, in the NHL, there's a flat salary cap right now, which has been a little bit difficult for some teams to maneuver around, especially as we're dealing with unprecedented economic times. Not that any of these teams are really like hurting for cash. We've established that. But you know, you are going to start to see some industry trends where it's just not feasible to give somebody a big deal anymore. You're sort of you end up hamstringing your own club years down the line because you've got these big, well, we talked about it the other day with, you know, Stanton on the books. Some people think that that's sort of an albatross of a contract. You end up having all these big money players on the books and you sign them at the same time. That's a good thing when they're young because they age at the same time and you want the team to grow together. But when they all hit their mid 30s, then what do? Because right. You need to get younger and you got to pay younger talent. So I just don't think you're not going to get a Fernando Tatis kind of deal. Or let's not say that type of deal, but let's say like Fernando Tatis term. You're not going to get these giant long-term contracts for players who are in their late 20s, early 30s. It's just not, it's not good business anymore. I hate, you know, deducing players to salaries, dollar cents, assets. I always have this like existential crisis every year around the trade deadline with both sports where I'm like, these are human beings. They're not assets. Draft picks are assets. Salary cap space is assets. Cash is asset. These are human beings. But like, you know, that is how the business sort of sees them. They are assets. And when you have lots of aging, expensive assets, it's not necessarily good business.
Right. All right. In a moment, we will continue this discussion. I think we should make predictions as to how long we think Aaron Judge might sign. But before we get into that, as we mentioned, the Final Four is this weekend, and it's very exciting. You have Duke, North Carolina playing against each other for the first time in the Final Four, which is crazy, and that game's going to be insane. And then it's Villanova, Kansas. Yes? Am I getting that correct?
Villanova, Kansas.
Okay. See?
Rock, Jayhawk.
Okay, nice. Because I recall Villanova beating Georgetown in 1985 because that's how old I am. But I remember watching that game with my dad. That's when I actually first really started watching college basketball. So I love this weekend. And betonline.net is your number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. From all the latest odds, contests, and player props, you name it. BetOnline remains the best spot for all your latest sports developments, including podcasts and reviews for all the leagues this season. And it's not just basketball, college, or NBA. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sports wagering information needs, including live betting and your favorite Vegas casino games. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and actions. BetOnline, where the game starts. Thank you for making Locked On Yankees your first listen every day. And when you're done with us, you should listen to Locked On MLB Prospects, hosted by Lindsey Crosby, who is a prospect encyclopedia, and he's going deep on the MLB stars of tomorrow, including some names we may see on the field in Yankee Stadium in the not-so-distant future. It's free and available wherever you get podcasts. So does this extension happen before opening day?
Whew.
I wonder if BetOnline has a line on this.
Yeah, right. You know, I mean, both parties want that because Judge has said he's not going to discuss a contract during the season. He doesn't want it to be a distraction. Right. And I really don't blame him for that.
Yeah.
These things are difficult. They're difficult enough to deal with. And when you're trying to go through the grind of the season, it's, you don't want that like constantly, I don't know, hanging over your head. You're able to compartmentalize a little bit and say, okay, wait, I'm just going to deal with this later. Often how I deal with a lot of my problems in life. But ask me again on Monday.
Okay. I can't really make a prediction either.
Ask me again on Monday. I'm not sure because I don't know how much progress there has. Like, there's progress that has been made, but I don't know where each side is like, you know, is he still up here and the Yankees are here? Like, they're inching closer. Are they doing that? Like,
right. Because apparently, I think according to Heyman, they made him an offer last weekend for an extension. So I was wrong about the lockout. I mean, you know, the day before baseball came back, I was thinking that the season wasn't going to start until June. So I was completely off about that. So,
well, it depends. Does he has said that he'd like to be a Yankee long term. the Yankees very much view him as a Yankee. And when you are looked at as sort of like one of those classically New York style players, they do want to lock you up for the rest of your career. They believe that he fits in with the culture of the clubhouse, that he helps lead that culture. He's capable of playing in New York. We know that. But I don't know. Maybe there is something in the back of his mind where he wants to have the career security of knowing that he's going to be there for the rest of his career. Very few players are afforded that opportunity.
Right.
But maybe there's something in the back of his mind where he's like, maybe I want to test the free agency waters and like go play closer to home in California.
Or, I was just thinking that. Yep.
Yeah. You know, he's from Fresno, I believe, or near Fresno. Wait, is he the one from? Yeah, he's from Linden.
Linden. Near, that's it. Yes.
It's south of Sacramento. I've driven through it many times. They used to have a really good high school football program there. I wonder if they still, I bet, I'm pretty sure
he played football.
He did, in high school. He had a good football team for a little bit. It's a really tiny, like, farm town. So, you know, maybe going to the Dodgers or the Giants is like an attractive thing for him later in his career. I don't know. He tends to be a very private person. So I just don't know how much progress there is, and like, you know, his sort of thinking behind the whole thing, other than to say, I'm not going to deal with it during the season.
Right.
And it's just, we talked about this the other day with players wanting to take a little bit more control of their career. Sometimes that is in the form of a long-term contract. Sometimes they want that stability. Sometimes it's Carlos Correa doing, you know, all these opt-outs. Right. Players want some control over their career. They want some control over their future. Judge just got married. Maybe him and his wife do want to put down roots and know that, like, if they have kids, they can raise their kids in New York. I don't know. Maybe they want to raise their kids in, I don't know, Texas or Alaska or somewhere that we haven't even thought of. Probably not. I don't know. I have no idea why I said Texas or Alaska. No clue why those are the states that came to my mind. But I think... I think the Yankees would like to make him a key piece, and it just depends on I think the term is going to be sort of, I don't see dollars and cents being the biggest item of contention. I think it might be term. And I don't know, I could just be like pulling that out of my ass too, but like talking to a few people like in the last few weeks, I have really gotten like no solid answers. It's just kind of like, yeah, he's a private guy. Like, you know, we're working on it. I also don't have, you know, I'm not an insider. As I said, my job in the media is I get some like backer information or like maybe some transactional scoops here and there, but like I'm not in it for the breaking news aspect. I'm in it to tell stories, and Aaron Judge story of him being a Yankee is, you know, we're about to learn the next chapter.
Yeah, that's true. Now, speaking of this season and the Yankees, it was announced yesterday that 21 games are going to be on Amazon Prime exclusively. And these are games that would have been on WPIX. This isn't a problem for me. I have Amazon Prime, and I actually love the idea that I can watch a baseball game in my room on my laptop. But I have friends in different countries that depend on certain ways of watching the Yankees who aren't going to be able to watch those 21 games. And people who don't want to pay for every streaming service in order to watch, you have to have Apple TV now for some of the games. You have to have Amazon Prime for some of the games.
TV.
Yeah, it's... I mean, it's interesting.
My roommates and I do not have cable. I don't necessarily like that we don't have cable because it is difficult for me to find sports.
Right.
We all have different streaming services, and we've all sort of shared the passwords with each other. I am still using an ex-boyfriend's password from, oh man, like a decade ago for MLB TV. He's never changed it. It's still his dog's name. I don't know what to say.
Oh, that's funny.
So I do understand the frustration of cord cutters, because it can feel like, you know, cable at least is the one place where you can have everything all at once, like all in one place. You use the remote, you use the search function, and you find what you need. Whereas like now there's Netflix, there's Amazon, there's Hulu, there's YouTube. Like there's so many different. There are some TVs that help you keep it organized.
Yeah.
Not everybody has those, especially probably an older clientele.
Right.
An older demographic. Clientele is not the right word, but demographic.
Yeah.
You know, my parents don't stream. My grandmother, who watches every single Dodgers game, she doesn't know how to stream. I mean, I lost an hour of my life trying to tell her what Netflix was once. my uncle was producing a show for Netflix, and she was like, but where can I find it on the television? No, Nana, no, it's okay. You don't need to know. We'll figure out a way to get it to you. But at the same time, like, this is going to help grow baseball to a younger audience. And as we have discussed sort of ad nauseum, baseball really needs to be reaching a younger audience, and a younger audience is going to be the one still watching in the next 10, 20, 30 years, you know? And that's where baseball needs to be focusing a lot of its efforts. So 20 something games isn't bad. There's going to be, you know, new eyes on those, on 20 something games. I understand the frustrations of people who, you know, want to see it on YES or WPIX, but, you know, baseball has to continue to try and do something to latch on to get that, you know, Gen Z to follow, because Gen Z doesn't really follow sports in the same way that generations prior have. You know, there's all sorts of studies that have been done, and it's a different mindset. They don't like sitting down and watching 3 hours of games in the way that we used to. And
right.
there's a lot more entertainment options now. And that was brought up to Rob Manfred, you know, there are more entertainment options. People will move on from baseball if they do not reach another audience. So it has its pros and its cons.
Yeah. By the way, the first Apple TV game on Friday, April 8th is going to be Max Scherzer against the Nationals. So that should be interesting. I'll be watching that, actually. I'll be going back and forth between the Yankees and the Mets just to see what's going on with that. Actually, that'd be kind of cool. I can have the Yankees on the TV if I'm downstairs, and I can have Apple TV on my laptop. Although I do have Apple TV on my TV. We have the Roku, so we have everything on there, you know. Everything from, you know, YouTube to HBO Max, Peacock, Tubi, Pluto TV. I mean, it's like everything on the TV. It's ridiculous. I actually don't know why we have cable, because we have so many options to watch other things. But my mom and I can't live without HGTV. It's just, you know, it's bad, but, you know, we can't. So in a moment, we're going to talk about the fact that Michael King learned a pitch from Corey Kluber last season, which, you know, when Corey Kluber was around, and that could be a really good thing for Michael King. But before we get into that, guess what time it is? What am I going to talk about?
Built Bar Puffs.
Yes. I've been telling you all about Built Bar Puffs for months at this point. They're the first ever protein-infused marshmallow. They're fluffy, they're marshmallowy, they're not just a protein bar, they're a treat, and they're covered in 100% chocolate. They come in flavors like churro, coconut marshmallow, banana cream pie, and you're going to love them. All Built Bars, not just the puffs, are covered in 100% real chocolate. They're low calorie, high protein, and you can replace your candy bars with them because they taste that good. Some of the flavors I always tell you about: mint brownie, coconut, coconut almond. Sully from Locked On MLB loves raspberry. Actually, so does Jason Burke of Locked On A's. And every flavor is delicious. New flavors are coming out all the time. If they think a flavor might be good, they'll find a way to make it and make it good for you. So go to built.com, use our promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your order. And once you do buy from Built Bar, you get emails that tell you about special deals and comeback flavors, special flavors. It's actually, you should do that. So again, go to built.com, use our promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off. I'm not lying. I told you guys about the brownie batter puff. Oh, that sounded so good. I was this close to ordering it, and then I realized now I got bills to pay. So maybe if it comes out again, I'll get the brownie batter puff. So, Michael King, very excited about this. And it's kind of funny because In the article about this, Michael King learned about his Kluber's curveball slash slider that people call the Kluber ball.
Yeah,
and just because a person teaches you
everywhere else.
Yeah, yeah, right. Just because a pitcher teaches you how to throw something doesn't mean you're going to automatically know, unless you're Roy Halladay and you learned how to throw a cutter from Mariano Rivera, which a lot of his teammates were not happy about when that happened. But Mo showed a lot of people his cutter, and Mo just was...
It's one thing to show somebody, though. It's another thing for that person to then be able to go execute it and, like, command it.
Yes.
Because slurves are, they're not uncommon. Strasburg has thrown a slurve since he was in college.
I love the slurve. I like the slurve and I like the slider. Those are my two favorite pitches. I especially like...
They're so tough on your elbow, though. That's the problem.
Yeah, they're fun to watch because it's almost like a wiffle ball, kind of. But yeah, it is. Yeah. You know, we talked about the whole mechanics of throwing and how horrible arms look in slow motion and in actual pictures. I say it all the time. Jeff Karstens, years ago, after he was with the Yankees and he was with the Pirates, there's one still shot of him where his elbow just... It didn't look like something a human elbow should do, but that's what their elbows do. I recommend that if you haven't actually watched a pitcher's arm in motion, do it. Your life will change because it's almost like a horror movie.
Yeah, I have to, I mean, when I post stories, like I have to all the time, like look at images to go with the stories. And I'm constantly trying to filter out like pitchers in motion just look so, they look like, they look like Gob Bluth trying to throw that piece of paper into the ocean and it keeps blowing back to him.
Yes.
That's what, like, when you get a still frame of a pitcher in motion, that's what it looks like for all my Arrested Development fans out there.
Yeah. And it's not even just the elbow looking weird. Their faces look weird too in the still photo. Like, you don't realize it as it's happening, but when you see it in a still shot, you're like, I mean, we talk about our faces all the time, how we can't hide our emotions on screen. So if you're watching this on YouTube, you know what we're talking about. And, even seeing guys making plays in the field and seeing their eyes bulge out when they're about to catch up, like, you know, they're making a diving catch. It's just so funny to see still pictures because you don't see that in real time. And yeah, I love that. I think it's so funny. So King said that having a guy like Kluber say that he has confidence in me and thought we were similar pitchers, that gave me the confidence to say this could be an easy pitch to learn. He said, I've gone through 6 different slider grips and thrown it since I was in college. It's never been a good pitch for me until Kluber. And we were talking about Josh Donaldson and how having him in the clubhouse and having him be the type of hitter he is could help people. And Kyle Higashioka, by the way, hit his 5th home run of the spring today. It would be nice if that continued into the regular season. But having veterans like that showing the younger guys what to do is a big boon in the clubhouse.
Yeah, I mean, that's what happens. You know, the young guys learn a lot from the older guys, from the veterans. And a lot of the time you've got so much time on your hands during spring training that like you're standing around the backfields or you're standing around, I don't know, the locker room or wherever. And guys are kind of messing around with other pitches to begin with. And it's just... You have so much time during spring training where you're just kind of standing around doing nothing that you start to experiment with some grips. And like, why not ask somebody who's won 2 Cy Youngs to show their grip on their out pitch? You know, it can't hurt. Again, the question is, can he execute it and can he command it?
Right.
So this is the time. Well, typically this would be the time for pitchers to kind of be working on new things, but with such an abbreviated spring training, you know, every year you get guys who are like, yeah, I'm trying to add a slide step, or I'm trying to work on something from the stretch. And I don't know if maybe they did that away from the field on their own this year, but I don't feel like I've, in reading and like watching some press conferences, I don't feel like I've seen a lot of guys who have said they're trying to like fool around with grips and slide steps and things like that quite as much as we're used to seeing. But again, I'm also not there, so maybe that's a difference as well. I have been at a hockey rink more than I have been at a baseball field for the last year, so I could just be not seeing the people who are tweaking things, but I just wonder if with like such an abbreviated spring training, if people are just kind of trying to like, okay, let's refine this pitch, let's get ready, and if I need to change something, I'll change it down the line. I just wonder if the approach
is possible
this year.
Yeah, it's possible. I mean, you know, we lost out on all of the best shape of his life articles because of the lockout.
Look, everyone was in the best shape of their life 2 months ago. Sorry.
Yeah. Those were always fun because they just got earlier and earlier. It was like, wow. Okay. It used to be January and then you'd see them pop up in December and you're like, what are these guys doing?
Terry Collins used to tell stories like, you know, guys would show up to spring training drinking beers in the clubhouse still, and now they've got their protein shakes that they've been drinking for 2 months already. They come into spring training in shape already. Spring training is no longer used to, you know, get
detox. Which was the original, which was the original origin of spring training. To detox from all the drinking that they did over the winter. And now, you know, these guys will take a couple of weeks off from, depending on how long they play. So say it's a guy whose team either didn't make the playoffs or only made a wild card game. They take a few weeks off, maybe until the World Series ends, and then they kick it into gear. And I would say even within the last 10 to 15 years, that's changed for players. And it's gotten where these guys, like, you know, you would sometimes see guys show up to spring training and you're like, he looks a little chubby. But, you know, in the back of your mind, you're thinking, well, they have 6 weeks and, you know, they'll get into shape. But now, for the most part, these guys are already in really good shape when they show up to spring training. So,
yeah, they are. And they're already throwing hard.
Yeah. Now, briefly, let's discuss this because this came out just before we were recording about minor leaguers finding out just before the start of the season that with the new housing policy, like guaranteeing housing for them, that maybe their wives and children aren't included, which is a tough thing to find out a few days before, you know, you plan on doing things. But I don't know.
It's this policy is it's progress. I don't think that we can expect it to be everything that we want it to be and everything that probably minor leaguers need it to be right away. It took a long time just to get to this point.
Right.
So, you know, I don't know. I just think that it's going to take time before they figure all those things out. And maybe it's, you know, there are guys who are, it said like, there are some guys who are sleeping like two to a room. Well, you know what? I did that when I was 18 in college. And some of these guys are straight out of college.
Yeah.
So consider it like living in the dorms. Is it ideal? No, because I was paying to go to college. They are getting paid.
Right.
But it is better than what we have seen in the past. And it's going to take time. I know I just said that, but this itself already is such a big victory. And it's like, it's such a load, such a weight taken off of some of these guys, because you only have like, you have like 1 or 2 days to report to your team once you get assigned. Securing housing is very difficult, which is why a lot of them end up living with families in these small minor league towns.
Yeah.
You know, host families. In Canada, they call them billet families for the junior hockey players. So it's not, junior hockey players are typically like teenagers, though they can be, 18, 19, but it's not exactly uncommon to see minor leaguers across sports living in, let's say, like dorm-like conditions. It's better than what we had before. It's going to, it's going to give guys some sense of, I don't want to say home, but it is going to make things a little bit easier on some players who are getting called up constantly and are getting shuffled around between league to league, or, you know, high A, low A, whatever. And when you've only got 2 days to report, oftentimes you sign a very expensive lease that then you have to get out of at the end of the season because all you can find is a 1 year lease. There are certain mechanisms in place that are going to make life easier for these guys. Now, is this necessarily, the battle hasn't been won, or the war, they won a battle. The war has not been won.
Right.
The wages are still poverty wages.
Yeah.
you know, and it's not the conditions for minor leaguers are still not, they're not as good as the conditions for minor leaguers in hockey. I can say that. I mean, guys who play in the AHL are making like six figures. Minor leaguers aren't, a lot of minor leaguers are not making anything close to that.
No.
So this isn't the end. It's, look, sports, especially at the minor league level, are difficult on families to begin with.
Right.
Wives, girlfriends, always having to make decisions, constantly trying to, you know, travel to make visits to far-flung locations that are not exactly vacation destinations.
No offense to those places, but you know.
But you know, it's, you make sacrifices so that it, hopefully in the end, these guys can live out their dreams and you guys can have a nice life as a family in professional sports. But starting at the bottom does not mean that it's going to be easy right away. And having housing taken care of is something that will make things easier. It's not going to make life easy for everybody, though.
Right. Right. It is a good first step.
Yeah.
I mean, like you said,
Rome compared wasn't built to a day.
Right. You're exactly right. So Friday, April 1st, we're less than a week from opening day. As I said in the open, we're at 969 subscribers on YouTube. And when we make it to 1,000, because we are going to make it to 1,000 and we should get there before opening day, we'll have a giveaway. We still don't know what we're giving away. We have to figure that out. I was conferring with other Locked On hosts who have done giveaways. I've heard bobbleheads, I've heard t-shirts, I've heard books. So we'll see. And if you're watching us on YouTube, let us know in the comments what you would want from a giveaway. Just make sure it's not too expensive because, you know, that, yeah. And if you're listening, tweet us, Locked On Yankees, all one word. Let us know what you would want to see in a giveaway. So that's it for today's show. We're Locked On Yankees. We're part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Abby and I would like to remind you that you can listen to this show in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, Spotify, Stitcher. Again, you can watch and subscribe to us on YouTube. And when you get into your car, you can tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On MLB. Now make your second listen of the day Locked On MLB. Paul Francis Sullivan, please call him Sully, brings you his unique perspective on the major leagues, both past and present. It's free and available wherever you get podcasts. One more thing, if you could be so kind, please rate the podcast and spread the word about this podcast to your fellow Yankee fans. We would really appreciate it. So enjoy your Friday, enjoy the weekend, and we will talk to you on Monday.